This is the Wintrust Business Lunch Hour. I'm Bob Surratt.
I'm Marianne Murciano. It's Friday.
Yes, it is. It's a bright one. Not much heat, but the weekend is here. And so is John Carpenter, Tribune Blue Sky Innovation Reporter. He covers startup ventures. And I guess you were covering some sort of robot trade show, John?
I was. It's a show called Automate. It's here every 2 years. It's basically robotics, big industrial robots. And what I found interesting was the new trend is for collaborative robots. So I think of automation and robots as these giant machines that do exactly what you program them to do over and over again. But these new robots can sort of feel their way around surfaces. They can work with other, alongside other people. You can move them easily. They're kind of like partners sitting next to you. And there was my favorite one was there was a robot that's designed to sort of pick up parcels and move them, but it can reach for them. And the makers of it on the display had it playing Pop a Shot. And so it would reach for a ball, and it wasn't like preloaded balls. It would have to turn around, find the ball, reach it, and do this big hook shot. But I'm happy to say that I beat it at Pop a Shot.
Good.
So, on behalf of all humanity.
Yeah.
Are we scared that robots are going to take over?
I got to say, it does make you a little bit nervous. And one of the other things that we had this week at Blue Sky was a talk by Steve Wozniak, and he's the founder, one of the founders of Apple, obviously. And it's kind of scary. He's a big believer in technology, and the sort of rosy picture that he painted, and after the robot conference, I was a little bit nervous about the future of robots, but he sort of sees learning robots and learning computers as really revolutionizing education and allowing, when you think of it that way, it allows for just almost endless possibilities. Every kid can have a sort of a teacher sitting with them.
Yeah, it's kind of like, the Atom, could use it for a bomb or right. Use it for good.
Right, right.
However, the people are scared about the fact that this artificial intelligence can become way smarter than we are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and once and move so quickly, and it these machines that are able to learn and adjust, those are the ones that are pretty amazing. And real quick, one of the other amazing robots I saw though was this exoskeleton robot, and I actually talked to a man who he was a veteran, he lost the use of his legs, and this exoskeleton robot basically straps onto his lower body. And he can walk. So
yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Talk about good. And Wozniak talked about Apple a little bit, didn't
right.
he?
Right. Yeah. A little dig at his former company. He founded it with Steve Jobs and then moved on. And he maybe confessed isn't the right word. He said he's a watch fan. He likes watches. He'll definitely buy one of the Apple watches. But he made it very clear that he will buy the absolute cheapest one that's available. And the thing that I think kind of ticked him off was Apple is selling these, $10,000, $15,000, $17,000 Apple watches. And really what it is the Apple watch with some fancy jewelry. And he said that's kind of not what Apple was back when he and Jobs founded it. So he wasn't really ripping it, but
so it's the jewelry part of it that
right.
he has an issue with, not the technology part.
Right,
of it.
Exactly. He said he likes the technology. Well, he doesn't have one yet, but he likes the technology. I got the feeling that he didn't really think of it as very Apple.
They're going to have to combine, like these, watch makers are going to have to probably come up with something that can accommodate a piece of the
right.
Apple Watch in their jewelry. But how can you compete with How can Apple compete with, for example, Cartier? And or any of these fancy watchmakers where people do spend
a ton of
money.
Or go in business with them.
Yeah.
Or go into business with
them.
Well,
I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, I don't know why people are so upset about a $20,000 Apple Watch. There are $20,000 Rolexes, and he said, yeah, the only difference is the Rolex won't be obsolete in a couple of years.
Exactly.
Or a couple of months.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's an investment fund for women that's interesting.
Yeah, this is kind of a nice story. Genevieve Thiers, who's the founder, one of the founders of Sitter City, which is a very successful platform for hiring babysitters that she successfully sold, has created, and she's really also a leader among women in technology in Chicago who often sort of have some challenges kind of cracking the scene. But she has, you know, like a lot of founders who have had some success, she kind of wants to, you know, look back and help other founders. You know, she can see these companies that are like she was a few years ago. So she started, it's kind of a modest fund, but it's really a very early stage investment fund for women entrepreneurs who are focusing on, whose companies are addressing sort of women problems.
So how do you start? What does that mean? Like, she started an investment fund so people can contribute to invest in it.
Yeah, well, in her case, it's all her money. I think she would welcome other investors with her. I mean, that's typically how a lot of these funds work, is people join in with her. In her case, it's her money, and it's really for early stage companies. So this would be a company that's got a good idea, maybe got a little bit of traction, but is having trouble selling it and could use $10,000, $15,000. You know, we're not talking millions of dollars. That would be more for, you know, a more traditional later stage venture capital or angel fund. But it's really helping. And honestly, in an environment that's maybe not quite as friendly to women entrepreneurs as it should be, that's where that help is needed, where, you know, to kind of A, get some cash to break through, but also get some credibility with some backing from a very successful investor or a very successful entrepreneur.
And what is in it for her? Does she then get to invest in these companies?
Yeah, I think she views it both as a moneymaker and as sort of the right thing to do and a beneficial thing. But it's a business, it's an investment.
More in the Blue Sky Innovation Department, Chicago Tribune. Thanks, John Carpenter.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Every Friday about this time, we step into business class with Johnny Jett, proprietor of the very comprehensive travel website, johnnyjett.com. How you doing, Johnny?
Good. Hi, Johnny. How you guys doing?
You know what? Like everybody else, pretty much sickened by the story of what happened in the French Alps. And as someone who travels hundreds of thousands of miles every year, how do you deal with something like this when you get on a plane?
Oh, well, whenever you hear about a plane going down, obviously it bums you out for a long time. And then when you find out, you know, it wasn't mechanical, it was, you know, person just do it deliberately. It sends chills down your spine. You know, I think a lot of things are going to happen now. I think obviously in Europe, they've now started putting two people in the cockpit. So here in the U.S., whenever a captain walks out of the cockpit, a flight attendant always goes in.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure, you know, I guess maybe just in case the co-pilot or pilot has a heart attack or something, that way the other person, the flight attendant, could open the door.
Exactly. And I would think in some respects, somebody like you who is in the airport all the time, traveling so much, and I tell this to people all the time who are afraid of flying, all you got to do is spend a little time at an airport and notice how many flights are coming in and going out to all parts of the world every day, never an incident, and that kind of makes you feel better. But be careful driving to the airport, because that's the scary part, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's 1,000 times safer to fly than it is to even walk, but especially drive. But
yeah.
This kind of stuff, you know, I think there, right now Europe has already started. A lot of the airlines are now starting to make the two people in the cockpit, and you know, there's going to be a question about the safety doors.
Yeah.
I mean, before 9/11, I used to sit there. They used to leave the door wide open, and we'd talk to the pilots. They'd come out.
Mm-hmm.
And now I watch when I fly. You know, the flight attendant puts the cart in front of the door so the pilot can get out and use the bathroom. And all the pilots are really looking to make sure that everyone's paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
And now the passengers are going to be paranoid because if a pilot really wants to do something, mm-hmm. a flight attendant's not even going to be able to stop them.
Yeah, I know.
And some pilots carry guns.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a scary thing, and no matter how much we know that it is safer to fly than it is to drive, when you hear stories like this, you want to know, you know, am I taking an airline that is, you know, overly cautious and things like that. But it looks like now all these airlines are joining in, like you said.
And they're going to have to start checking for mental health. problems. And you know, another thing when people fly, you know, news came out that this guy had a sick note and he ripped it up or something from the doctor saying he was not. I haven't read the whole story. But, you know, a lot of times when I fly, I find that the flight attendants are sick. And I used to date a flight attendant, so I know she would be sick, but she would have to go to work. Otherwise, she could get fired. You know, if she missed like 3 days, she could get fired. I'm not sure what the rules are now. This is a long time ago.
Yeah, no, it's still a problem. And for the most part, the pilots, at least in this country, and I think around the world, are kind of on the honor system when it comes to reporting mental health issues. They're going to have to take another look at screening, vetting these pilots, making sure nobody gets in the system who's got ideas along these lines. And they're going to have to somehow make it so a pilot does not fear for his or her career when reporting depression. So hopefully some good changes will come out of this. Let's get to your travel website of the week that you like, Johnny. GoSeek.com, S-E-E-K, GoSeek.com. Never heard of this.
Yeah, well, actually, I just heard of it this week. So it's a new site, and what these guys will do is that they will check all different possibilities for hotels. And they usually find a better deal than what's out there. But the problem with these guys is that if you book through a third party, a lot of times these hotels will not give you, most of the time now, will not give you your membership points, or honor your elite status. So if you have an elite status with a certain airline, a certain hotel, you can't get upgraded or, you know, get free Wi-Fi or free breakfast or whatever. But what it does, you know, it will look at all the different sites. So it will check out AAA rates, coupons, senior rates even, and then it will find out what the cheapest possible deal is. Again, you know, one of my buddies did all these tests, and he found it was about $40 cheaper. So you have to ask yourself, is it really worth it? You know, I prefer to book directly so I could get my points, get upgraded, get the free Wi-Fi, and everyone's different, so you have to decide.
And what do we need to know about American Airlines this weekend? They're moving or beginning to move their U.S. Airways frequent flyer accounts to the Advantage program. If you're in the American Airlines program or the U.S. Airways program, is there anything you need to do or really need to be aware of?
Well, if I were you, I would definitely log into both your accounts. So for your U.S. Airways, you should have already linked up to your American. You should have went into your U.S. Airways account, put your American frequent flyer in, made sure that your names are correct in both, the spellings are correct in both. And then by tomorrow, you should see the miles that were in your U.S. Airways account into your American account. And if you don't see it by Monday, I would definitely, you know, send an email, find out. There'll be more news out about that, but you know, everything should go in, and I'm actually looking forward to it because we talked about that credit card that gave everyone 50,000 U.S. Airways points. So I'm looking forward to seeing my American account jump.
I did that for myself, but I didn't do it for anybody else in our family. So I wonder if...
Does that mean you're going on some separate vacations, Marianne?
That means I'm tired of taking care of myself and four other people.
Well, I think tomorrow's the last day. I'm not sure. WorldGotBigger.com was the website. And I think it's till the end of the month. The website's still live, worldgotbigger.com.
All right, we'll check it out.
Right.
Good tip, as always, from
Thank
Johnny
you.
Jett. Happy, safe travels. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care, you guys.
Social media business. That is Scott Kleinberg's department from the So Social column in the Tribune. In today's New York Times, I saw this headline, Apps Go Beyond Selfies with Live TV Broadcast Starring You. And then the article goes on to say, capture video of yourself doing anything from exploring a new city to playing with your dog, all using nothing more than your smartphone camera. The apps notify others that you are streaming live video of yourself and you can share it with your friends and followers. I need an explanation here.
Well, I can give you a really easy explanation. Right now, I am live streaming as we are sitting here talking. And
you're kidding. Wait, I'm going to walk over and see.
I am not kidding.
With your smartphone. This is a radio first or a social media first. I'm not sure which. Now, who can see this, Scott?
This can be seen by anybody who is on the air right now. And right now there are 10 people that are following.
Anybody who is where?
And anybody who, I mean, anybody. I mean, this is anybody who has this app. This is Periscope. This is the app from Twitter. There are two that the New York Times article mentions. There's Meerkat and there's Periscope.
Okay, how do you get it? Do you have to be on Twitter?
You have to have a Twitter account to tie to it, but you download the app separately in the App Store, and then you're kind of connected by.
I'm going to do that right now.
But there
you
are people
watch me.
Sure, there's someone on here
oh,
who just
it's
said
the, it's the number one.
It's the number one thing right there.
Thing to download right now. See, Bob.
I see that.
And what happens is people send notes and they ask you to do things. Like this guy right here said, say hi, Scott, on the radio. So I'm going to say hi, Scott, on the radio. And then people here said hi from France. There are people watching from everywhere right now.
Are these your friends or?
These are people who are following me, but anybody is able to see a live stream. Like I could say, tune in to this live stream now by clicking a button. So I can send someone else indication that a live stream is there. Right now there's 14 people, and I didn't tell people ahead of time that I was doing this. That could bring more next time. But when I send out a tweet, when I hit the broadcast button, it automatically sends out a tweet and says that we're live.
And the app's Periscope, and the other is Meerkat, M-E-E-R-K-A-T.
Yes.
Now, there is some thought that the time has come for this, but didn't we have something like this? Vine was a short video, right?
Well, Vine's short video, but live streaming in general has been around since the early 90s. I mean, this isn't like anything particularly new. It's just that the connection that these apps have, this connection to Twitter, for example, makes this so easy to do. So, you know.
Okay, so wait a minute. Now, if somebody wants to follow me, for example, I am at Mary Moore, M-A-R-I-M-U-R.
Yes.
What do they need to do?
Bob
is at Bob Surratt.
So when you guys download this app, it's going to say to you, do you want to follow the people who are already following you on Twitter? So you'll get that instant following right away from those people that are already following you.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
So do I want to follow them?
You can follow them. You don't have to. It's nice to reciprocate, but you don't have to. But then you can let people know on air once you're on. You can say, you know, this is my Twitter handle. This is my Periscope handle. This is where you can find me. And then people can start following you. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be following you to see it. They can get the information from other people, and then that would link them to you. So there's all different kinds of ways. It's kind of like building a following on any other platform.
So, Scott, what do you think now about all of this and this trend? Periscope and Meerkat, are they going to be successful for a long time? Will there be others? Will some just fall by the wayside? What's going to happen here?
I think there actually are already others. These are the two big ones that are out there right now, and I think one is eventually going to win in domination. Meerkat came out, and Meerkat's really great. It depends a lot on Twitter, but then Twitter bought Periscope a little while ago, and it kind of decided that it was going to do big things with it. So it's disabling some of Meerkat's features, and now people are jumping onto Periscope, and there are celebrities and journalists and all different people. So I think it's going to depend on what people prefer, but I do think at the end there's going to be one dominating app that lasts. But there are other live streaming apps. This isn't the only one, but this is like the big one.
Hearing more about it. Remember, you heard it here first.
Definitely.
Okay, I'm still in the process of creating my account.
Keep us posted.
You're very close. You just hit create account, and it's going to
while you're doing
the same
that
username as your Twitter account.
Let's get to
the
something else
one.
You've
okay,
never
thanks,
heard of. What is WhipClip?
So this is a new app that lets you make animated GIFs of TV shows as they're happening.
GIFs.
Yes.
Explain that.
So those animated things that you see that go viral on social media last for like 3-4 seconds or 5 seconds at a time. The difference with this app is it has the backing of some of the big TV stations, CBS, NBC, and they're actually okay with you making these clips. And if you've ever seen these things online, you know that speed is of the essence. So you have to get there quickly and you have to do these things quickly. This will let people do it right away on the fly as they're watching videos and share it with their friends.
Scott, please explain this whole Amazon iCloud thing to me. Oh, and you're watching me and on Periscope now, on yes. Scott Kleinberg's yeah. Periscope. And by the way, I don't even know what to do next. I don't know if I should enable notifications or not. I always say no to that.
Notifications will tell you when people are broadcasting like this. So you can always change your mind later.
Oh, okay. So anyway, this Amazon iCloud thing, I got a notice about it.
Yes.
I tried to understand it because I'm a Prime member.
Okay, that's
and,
good.
And then it said it just got confusing to me. I didn't know what to do or what it meant. I didn't know I had an iCloud on Amazon.
Well, if you have an Amazon Cloud account, I am not an Amazon Prime member, so I don't know exactly how the accounts work, but you have the option to purchase unlimited data in your cloud plan. So
unlimited?
Right, unlimited. And there's two different tiers of unlimited. Like one is like for just photos and other things, and then one is for everything. But it's like $60. So it's basically saying
a one-time $60.
No, it's
thing,
$60
or it's, a year.
It's $60 a year or a month. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. But it's the first service to actually offer unlimited ability for cloud storage, which is completely different than Apple does and completely different than Google does. The difference with Amazon is it's not everywhere. Like the Amazon cloud is part of like the Kindle Fire and that kind of thing, but like Apple has everything with iCloud and Google has Google Drive. So this is like a whole separate thing. So they have to get out there more to be able to let people know that it's there. But the thought of unlimited data is very exciting. I mean, it could change the game.
Yeah, because that's what we all are running out of is space.
Yep, exactly.
It is time right now to say so long to our viewers on Periscope. We could just name all of them probably, but we'll wave. And thanks to Scott Kleinberg for keeping us on the edge of social media innovation.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, guys. This was fun.
We've been talking about the hotel business a lot here lately. Yesterday we were at the Four Seasons, and not too long ago I was walking around Streeterville, and lo and behold, there's this beautiful new Lowe's Hotel, and I'm thinking, well, where did this come from? But it's there, right around Illinois and Columbus, 455 North Park. And with us to talk about Lowe's today, Eric Grizzetti. Welcome, Eric. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You are the Director of Sales and Marketing, and so you're the best guy to answer this question. The hotel business seems to be booming here in Chicago. Can we handle all of this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a great question. And if you look at the history of Chicago, we actually had our highest level of occupancy last year. So 2014, we saw over 50 million visitors come into the city, which was a goal that we were targeting for probably actually about 2 years in the future from now. So
you mean targeting because you didn't want to have the hotel here until there were that many visitors? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you know, for us, it makes sense to have this hotel in the city at this time. We actually, Lowe's had representation in the city back in the 1980s. We actually owned the Ambassador East and the Ambassador West hotels.
Oh.
We let those go at the end of the 1980s, and then we actually managed the House of Blues hotel here from the mid-1990s up through the mid-2000s. So since that time when we stopped managing that hotel, we've actually been looking for the correct piece of real estate here for us.
Well, it's good news for the economy and good news for all of us, yeah. The booming hotel business. Talk about who you're appealing to. I know you've got some sort of next generation amenities. What are the highlights at the Lowe's Hotel?
Yeah, absolutely. So we really appealed at everyone across the board. You know, Lowe's has always been known for its group and meetings business that mm-hmm. we deal with mostly. But sort of our new generation Lowe's products are really positioning themselves more towards that leisure transient traveler. So we've got a gorgeous indoor 75-foot lap pool that's great for families. We have a 9,000-square-foot outdoor roof deck. So it's actually the largest outdoor roof deck for a hotel in the city. So that's going to be Streeterville Social, which is an outdoor bar
can't wait,
in the summer
can't
months.
Can't wait for the warmer weather.
It's going to be fantastic.
That's going to be so fun. And how do you maintain this? Whenever I think of Lowe's, just from the other locations, and we just talked about the Miami Beach location just a little while ago,
yeah.
I think of it always as very hip, very cool, but also for families, always great locations. So how do you stay hip in this world of so many hotels?
It's a great question, and you nailed it for us, because what you just said is exactly who we want to be. We do want to be known as being hip and modern, but at the same time, still friendly to everybody. We don't want to be so modern that it's uncomfortable for certain travelers. So for us, it's really about the amenities that we use. So as an example, every one of our guest rooms has its own individual Wi-Fi access point. Most hotels you check into, you're sharing a Wi-Fi access point with 40 or 50 people, so you really see a downgrade in your speed. We have one in every single room, so we're really targeting that younger traveler who needs to be connected all the time. So we use the technology and a little bit of design. We're still very classic with our design, but we still have a little bit of an edge. It's more of a timeless piece than something that you might find in a much more boutique-focused hotel.
Everybody is going to want to just take a vacation in Chicago, including those of us who live here.
Yeah.
Well, yes, staycation time, right?
That's the goal. You know, Chicago was just rated by TripAdvisor as the number two destination that people want to visit in the country. So New York was number one. Chicago was rated as number two. So we should be expecting some good numbers of travelers this summer.
And then what do you do to appeal to the people who are already here and who maybe, you know, maybe live out in the suburbs mm-hmm. and just want to treat themselves to, you know, something that is not over the top expensive, mm-hmm. but very enjoyable and will feel like vacation? Will you have specials or will you have times where it's better to do that?
Absolutely. So we just opened on March 2nd. So we currently still have running right now what we're calling our first impressions promo, where you can get 30% off of our best prices. That's through April 12th. So that's ending pretty quickly. So just a couple more weeks on that. But
you don't have to stay there during that time, do you?
You do.
Oh, you do have
that
to
is
stay
actually
there.
Stay before okay. April 12th. But after that, we've got great weekend packages for families. We have partnered with the Chicago Children's Museum for a children's package that we have going. We've got a great shopping package where we partnered with a lot of the retailers here on Michigan Avenue. But for us, you know, we have a Jose Garces signature restaurant in our building. So it's called Rural Society. So Jose Garces is one of the Iron Chefs. We wanted that to be a destination restaurant where people in the local community would come and dine.
Great addition to our city, and again, it's 455 North Park. That's Illinois and Columbus. We have to go over there and hang out and explore, definitely.
I know.
And also, by the way, we should mention your company acquired the old Intercontinental Chicago O'Hare Hotel, and they're working on that now, correct?
Correct, yeah. We actually took that over back in June, so it's been open the entire time. It was a very easy transition. It's a gorgeous property. We're doing some planned work in the lobby and just making the lobby a little bit more sort of user-friendly is the term that we're kind of using there.
Thanks for sharing the news today with us. Lowe's Chicago's Director of Sales and Marketing, Eric Rossetti. Good luck to you, Eric.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Good luck, Eric.